Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is today's gospel and the verses that follow it. The angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who is crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice," and they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ear, we will appease him and make you secure." So they took the money and did as they were instructed. So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, this last Friday, it's a couple days ago, during the Good Friday service, I don't know if you noticed it or not, I was very nervous, especially when I read the passion account of Jesus' death. Because last year, there was an unfortunate mistake made, and as I was reading the passion account, I got to the part where it says, "And they placed on Jesus' head a crown of thorns." And last year I said, "They placed on him a crown of thorns," and not thorns, but corns. And I caught it. I don't think most of you caught the fact that I said crown of corns, but I know three people who did. Two were in this church, and one was 1,600 miles away, and all their last names are Schaefer. And, yeah, that added to the long legend of mistakes Pastor Schaefer has made, which just keeps growing. But yeah, I read the words. I saw it. It was crown of thorns. I've always said crown of thorns, and yet it came out wrong. Now, that kind of reminds me of what happens an awful lot this time of year. This time of year, Easter, is a time where it almost seems traditional for media like magazines or newspapers or documentaries or television shows to try to undercut the most fundamental Christian doctrine, and that is the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. So they do this generally in three ways, usually, and each one gets a little more ridiculous. The one is that the disciples stole the body from the tomb. Okay, that's ridiculous, and the fact that these guys are not trained soldiers, and the Romans certainly are. They're not very heavily armed, and the Romans are. And the fact is, since the disciples didn't lift a hand to defend Jesus when he was alive, why would they risk their lives when he's dead? That's the first one. The second one has to do with the hallucination. They just say, well, everybody hallucinated Jesus. But, you know, having two people hallucinating the same thing, or 11 or more, is really hard to understand. At one point, more than 500 people saw Jesus, and that's just not going to happen. The most ridiculous has to do with the idea that Jesus didn't actually die on the cross, that he passed out. And they just kind of picked up his body, thought he was dead, placed him in the tomb, and the coolness of the tomb refreshed Jesus, and he woke up, probably had a big yawn, said, "Boy, I could go for a Denver omelet right now." People who say that have no understanding and conception of what a crucifixion by the Romans was. He didn't survive a crucifixion. There was one instance where someone cut down from the cross early and given a reprieve, lived, and that person lived, I think, for about 14 hours, and then they died. The Romans knew what they were doing. Now, Christians, too, can kind of get the resurrection wrong as well, where we really think of the resurrection only as a historical event that we are called to believe. And if I believe that Jesus died on a cross 2,000 years ago, and if I believe Jesus rose from the dead, then I'm a Christian, I go to heaven, amen, everything's great. It's really not about that. Our believing that Jesus rose from the dead and that's an actual fact is important, but what's far more important is how we believe that. And we see that in this text very clearly. One good thing about the Matthew text is it really stresses the guards that were placed around the tomb. Now, why were they there? Well, you heard it in the text I read after. They were there because the chief priests It's kind of ironic because, you know, Jesus had told the disciples repeatedly that he was going to rise from the dead on the third day, and yet they completely forgot about it. Jesus only told the chief priest once, and they didn't forget. And they go, okay, we think he's not going to rise from the dead, obviously, but the disciples are going to steal his body. And so they go to Pontius Pilate, ask for a Roman guard, get it, and have the tomb sealed. Now, of course, the chief priest very clearly didn't understand where the disciples were at mentally or emotionally, just terrified and hiding, and yet they do this anyway. They shouldn't have been worried about who was going to get in the tomb. They should have been worried about who was getting out, because the resurrection happens. Matthew says there was an earthquake. The stone is rolled away from the tomb, and an angel comes and sits on the stone. I don't know, it's my imagination. I figure he sits on the stone and basically said, hey, I dare you to move the stone. I'm sure the angel wouldn't say that, but, you know, in my imagination, that's what happened. And what happens to the soldiers? They drop down, they're catatonic, they're so filled with terror. Now remember, they know that Jesus is risen from the dead. And that's number one. In other words, they believe the right thing about the resurrection. And what do? They go to the chief priests and they tell them what took place. And here's really important too. The chief priests believe Jesus is risen from the dead. In other words, it's the second group of people that believe the right thing about the resurrection. But even though all these groups on that first Easter Sunday believed the same thing, the result was not the same. Look at the chief priests. They believe Jesus is risen from the dead, and what does that lead? It leads to them bribing the soldiers and telling them to lie. That's not a good result. The soldiers believed that Jesus rose from the dead, but the result was they took the bribe and they lied about it. That's not good. The women believe that Jesus rose from the dead, and they become the first missionaries of Christianity. A wise man once said, and I can't remember who it is, but I have never forgotten the quote, that the important thing is not how we explain the resurrection, it's that the resurrection explains us. It defines us. It recreates us. Whenever I'm in a bad mood, I'll watch these videos on YouTube about soldiers coming back from overseas and reuniting with their families. You know, there's all kinds of these. You can find them anywhere. Reuniting with their husband or wife or children, and they're heartwarming. But the ones I like the best are the ones where they're reunited with their dogs. I don't know why I like those better, but... And it's just wonderful to see this dog all of a sudden realize that this important person in its life has just come back. And there's one in particular, you've probably seen this, because it's different than all the rest. In this case, it's an elderly man who has been in the hospital for like 5 or 6 months with cancer treatment, which was successful. And when he comes home, he is almost unrecognizable because he's lost so much weight because of this treatment. And so the moment comes at this celebratory picnic, right, where they're going to bring his dog out, and yay, it's just going to be a wonderful emotional time where they get together. Well, the dog comes out, doesn't recognize him, starts baring his teeth at this guy, growling at this guy. There's nothing he can say that will, you know, help the dog. The dog's absolutely terrified. And that got me to thinking about the disciples on Easter Sunday. How would they have responded if Jesus hadn't gone to the women first with a message for them? Instead, Jesus had just popped in there and say, here I am. First of all, emotionally, they were on a razor's edge, filled with terror. On top of that, they were all filled with guilt. I mean, 10 out of 11 that are left, not John, had not even witnessed the death of Jesus on the cross. And all of them had abandoned him, not helped him in his time of need. And so if Jesus just popped in and said, howdy, I think half of them are going to run away, the other half are going to have a heart attack. So what does Jesus do? He sends his angel with the Easter message of the resurrection to the women. And the angel comes to them and says three things. Number one, what angels always say first, don't be afraid. In other words, if you run into an angel, you're going to be afraid. Secondly, Jesus Christ is risen. And thirdly, he's going to meet you in Galilee. And just to make sure everybody was paying attention and God noted, remember the angel goes, and so I've told you, right? So they got the message. Here it is. Wonderful. And the women go to the disciples to give this message, and yet something happens. Jesus comes and gives them the exact same message. You ever wondered about that? Like Jesus thought the angel didn't do it or something? I'd like to think that Jesus said to him, well, that was a good message I gave the angel to give, but, you know, I think I left something out that would make it even better. And so Jesus comes and gives them almost the exact same message. Don't be afraid. I've risen from the dead. And he doesn't say, I'll meet my disciples, right, in Galilee. He says, I'll meet my brothers. My brothers. Two very important words there. The miracle of the resurrection is a wonderful thing, and that it happened is very important. But how we believe it happened. Because these women are not just the first missionaries of the resurrection, they are also messengers of a reconciliation. Because a relationship that had been broken has now been healed. And so we, like the disciples in the past, we are not just unfaithful disciples, but because of Jesus' word, we are his brothers and we are his sisters. And he loves us, he has forgiven us, and like these women, he calls us to spread the message of this living God, living Savior, and this salvation he brings. Now, as long as we live in this world, we're still going to suffer, we're still going to sin, experience guilt. All of these things are going to happen. But the best news we should take away from today, as we enjoy the breakfast, as we go home, as we live the rest of our lives, is that the Easter miracle is not dependent on our faithfulness. It's dependent on the Savior who said and calls us his brothers and sisters. In that video with the dog eventually gets close to the old man, just inches forward, and finally takes a sniff. Once he smells him, he explodes in recognition and joy. Now he knows who he is. The disciples do not explode with recognition and joy because they sniff Jesus. Okay, that's not the sense they're using. Wouldn't have worked. It's this sense. It's what they heard. And they heard very clearly from the message of these women that they were reconciled with Jesus, who they had let down, who they had rejected, who Peter, in fact, had denied even knowing on an oath. They're reconciled now because Jesus himself calls them brothers. May we rejoice that we are brothers and sisters of Jesus and give thanks that he is a living Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.